Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show John Grisham, of course, best-selling author of more than 30 books, and he has a brand new novel called Sully. And John, welcome to the show, first of all, but a bit of a departure because this is about a young man from South Sudan, and it concerns college basketball as well. How did this all come together for you?
Well, we're big college basketball fans, and we go to a lot of games, in ACC games. We live here in Charlottesville, and my son went to UVA, so we go to the UVA games, home games. My wife is from Raleigh. She went to UNC. She's a Tar Heel fan, so we go to a bunch of games in Chapel Hill. And when we're not at games, we're watching something almost every night, a game from the ACC on television. So from December to March, we get a lot of basketball. So I love the sport, obviously. And I've written three other sports novels, and I really enjoy those stories, writing them and researching them. And I've always wanted to do a college basketball novel, and finally got the idea and started writing a year ago.
You know, so many stories that we hear like this. Just yesterday, Quiddy Pay was a first-round pick out of Michigan in the NFL draft, and his mother barely escaped the genocidal civil war that was going on in Liberia. And so, you know, for a lot of us, Americans, we're just worried about chemistry class. But for these kids like Samuel Suleiman, it goes much deeper, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. And when Sully comes over here in the summertime for a showcase camp with his team from South Sudan, while he's here, the rebel forces back home burn his village and scatter his family. And he finds out about that after a while. For a long time, he doesn't know where they are, if they've been alive. And so he finally realizes his father's dead and his mother is in a refugee camp. And you can imagine what that would do to a kid. And he blames himself for not being there to protect them, and there's nothing he could do. He would have been shot too if he'd been there. But that's a horrible thing to endure, a nightmare. And he has that to worry about, and he's trying to assimilate into a U.S. campus where, you know, everything is so different, and also concentrate on playing basketball. So he's got a lot on his mind. But he's, you know, you fall in love with this kid. I did as a writer. I just fell in love with the character of Sully, and he, he eventually turns into a phenom basketball player.
It's very interesting. Why did you pick that area? Because, you know, when I think about the South Sudan, it's a country that's barely 10 years old, and I remember hearing, I think it was last year, that they ranked last on the United Nations Happiness Report, which just says that's like the people are the most sad on the face of the earth. I don't know how they gauge such a thing, but what was it about that? What is it about that area for you?
You know, it goes back to a magazine article I read two or three years ago about it, very similar. You know, writers are known for just stealing ideas. I stole this one. A team from South Sudan came to the U.S. for a summer showcase tournament, and the article was about how the kids were their style of play. Their happiness is just being on the court. Their ability, their talent. They killed all the other opponents. I mean, they just slaughtered people, and they were, because they were so good. And the great thing about the article was that their coach, really a smart guy, said that he hoped to use basketball to teach these kids, you know, some lessons about life, teach them some leadership, teach them what it's like to set goals and hope and dream and work hard, and maybe we can take these lessons back home and provide leaders in a country that desperately needs leadership. And so that was a cool part about the article. I clipped that one out and filed it away as I do all the time, and that led to this novel.
A couple more questions for John Grisham. The new novel is called Sully. I remember hearing Guy Lewis interviewed the former coach at Houston, and he said when Hakeem Olajuwon arrived at the airport in 1981, and he was a soccer goalie, basically, from Nigeria. He called, and Guy Lewis said, take a cab to school. And he said, if I had known he'd be that good, I would have sent a limo for him. But in all those years, where have we come with recruiting guys from Africa? Because it is still such an inexact science.
I will never understand college recruiting. I'll never get it. So many of the African players now escaped when they were kids with their parents, and they grow up here. So they become Americanized, and they get a good education and all that. But I don't know how you begin to pick and choose or see talent or see or project talent and recruit kids. It's an inexact science, as you say.
I love how you said that you were falling in love with the character, but it's a character born out of your own head, and I think that's what lends your books to such great storytelling. Do these protagonists that you fathom out of nothing, they become like living entities to you, don't they?
Well, Sully sure did. Some more than others. But you have to really fall in love with these people to be able to sustain the energy and the creativity over 500 pages. And you've got to love the story and love the characters to get to the end. And by then you're tired of them. I mean, a lot of my characters, by the time I get to, I want to kill all of them at the end, but I can't do that. So.
You know, for something like this, obviously you're a fan, so you've got a basis to know what you're talking about. But did you talk to a Coach K or a Roy Williams and just say, hey, I want to make sure I get this or that right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I know enough about basketball to thoroughly enjoy it as a serious fan, but I'm not going to dig down to the next level and learn strategy and plays and all that kind of stuff. It's complicated. It looks like a simple game because it's so fast and fluid, but it's terribly complicated. And, for example, I don't know how a coach can switch defenses in a split second. They do it, they're always changing their defenses. They go from a zone to a half-court press or how they call offensive plays or how what does an offense look like, your game plan. The coaches are always watching the other team to see who's about to come in, because they may have to react to that sub. This stuff that goes on in a game that's fast-paced. So, yeah, I talked to coaches and players. Tony Bennett here at UVA is a friend, and he was very helpful. The coach at Central, Lavelle Moten, was very helpful to me. And so, and also some former players. From them, I learned a little bit about the recruiting game because these guys were recruited out of high school. Through them, I learned a little bit about the pro game and the draft and the agents and all the stuff that comes into play late in the book. I call people I know and ask them questions. I talked to the chief referee for the ACC, a guy I know pretty well, and had some technical questions about the game, how to call it, the timeout structure, stuff like that that I thought I knew, but I wanted to verify.
No, no doubt. And you're at the point of your career, and you have been for some time, that as soon as you put pen to paper, people who do screenplays are already thinking, oh, it's a Grisham, and this has movie written all over it. So when you're writing it, does that sit in the back of your mind thinking, hey, this is my book, I don't want it to be a screenplay just yet? Or do you kind of think, well, this actor would probably be good as Sully? Is that the farthest thing from your mind when you're writing?
Yes and no. Years ago, after the first wave of movies, after The Firm, The Pelican Brief, The Client, The Time to Kill, Runaway Jury, the mid-1990s, the movies were coming fast and furious, and I couldn't help it. When I would write the next novel, I would think about, this character reminds me of an actor. Maybe this will work. And I realized that was a waste of time. As the years have gone by, I've had fewer and fewer movies made. I mean, I have not had a feature film made in 15 years, and I keep churning out the books. And I think most of the books would make good movies, not all of them, but most of them. But the industry has changed so much in the last 15 years, it's hard to get a movie made. And now all the talent's gone to television, and that's a good thing because we all enjoy it. But I've had so much frustration over the years trying to, kind of push the books onto adaptations, dealing with people, reading bad screenplays, stuff. I've finally given up. For the past 10 years, I've had the attitude, look, I'm going to write the books. If somebody who knows how to make a movie reads the book and likes it, they'll give us a call. And if they have a good track record or if they're young and up and coming or whatever, we'll sign a deal. and make the movie. And so that's kind of where we are now. I don't think about it much anymore.
You know, I always wonder things like that. If you're like on set and they're asking you, do you think Gene Hackman's character would really say that? Or is it just sort of like once you sign your name on it, it's out of your hands, and then you watch the movie with the rest of us and either like it or don't?
Exactly. It's gone. It's somebody else's interpretation of my vision of something I've seen. And it's always fun to see somebody else's, to see what they see, to see how they visualize a scene or a character or a plot. And I don't get upset over it. I'm like you said, I'm going to sit back and watch the movie and hope it's good. And if it's good, we'll enjoy it. If it's not, I'm not going to say anything. It's just a movie. A movie cannot change a word of my book. And so it's just somebody else's interpretation.
That's very interesting. Have you ever gone back to maybe a second printing and amended something in your book, added or, you know, subtracted something from an earlier printing?
Listen, by the time I finish one, I've gone through 6 months of pretty intensive writing to get to that point, and then I've gone through 3 or 4 drafts at the end to revise, clean up, edit, perfect, whatever. I tinker with it until the last possible moment before it goes to press, and when it goes to press, I just try to forget about it. I'm tired of it. And I've never gone back and read one of my books. I've never gone back and been tempted to try to change something for subsequent printings. I'm done with them.
Sounds good. Well, the new one is Sooley. That's S-O-O-L-E-Y. And it is about the character Samuel Suleiman from South Sudan coming to America as a young man trying to make his way in college basketball whilst dealing with the tragic situation in his homeland. We've been speaking with the author, John Grisham. John, great having you on. Congratulations on the book, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Thank you. A lot of fun. Take care.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break and come on back on Sports Byline.